Okay, so the importance of following directions. So the importance of following directions. So before we get started tonight, why do you think it's important that you follow directions?
We know what to do.
Okay, so tell me again, Jordan. To put something together correctly. So if I'm assembling something, usually they send directions. Right? Tells you step by step. Step one. Right? Even before that, they even say, okay, you are going to need these tools for this project.
Right.
So, they give you directions. Step one, do this. Step two, do this. Step three, do this. Us guys, we usually see that and we toss them, right?
Yes.
Yep.
And sometimes our projects don't turn out so well. We get it all assembled and we got one part left and we skip step 10. Sometimes we have to take it completely back apart, put that piece in. Perseus, why should we follow directions? Okay, so applying it to the Christian life. So we can live a holy life. God's got directions for us. Anybody else have any input as why we should follow directions? For the goal?
So we can get to where we need to go.
Okay, so we need directions sometimes for when we drive someplace, especially when we're not familiar. So it's really, really nice to have directions. So if we do not follow those directions, we get
lost.
All right? We get lost. And so it's important. I think you all find that directions are important. Directions are important. So when we enlist in the army of the Lord, or in other words, we become saved. So anyone that's saved tonight is in the army of the Lord. And if I recall correctly, Brother Decker had a message not too awful long ago. Being in the army of the Lord, right? And so when we are saved, we're in the army of the Lord. And at that time, we are not our own. When we enlist in the army of the Lord, we are not our own. When one has served the devil, they weren't on their own. They did what the enemy told them to do. Whether you thought you were doing it all on your own or not, but you were doing what the enemy told you to do. And like anyone that enlists in the U.S. Army, they become property of the U.S. government. We're property of the Lord tonight. We're property of the Lord. And when we are saved, we become God's property. And anyone in this room who claims to be serving God, how closely are we following the directions of God? You know, when we enlist in the Army, I remember Brother Jeremy talking about this, that we are at the pleasure of the president's command. Well, what does that mean? If the president says we're going to war, guess what? The army's going to war.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The army's going to war. And so there are directions that need to be followed. But tonight, God gave very detailed instructions to Joshua, and his success, young people, depended on how closely he followed these instructions. And our dependence, how successful we are in our Christian life, depends on how well we follow the instructions that God has laid out for us. Very, very important tonight. So tonight, let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 1. So Joshua chapter 1. Now, this is where Joshua is taking over. Moses has departed from the scene. God has put Joshua in charge of the Israelite nation. So Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot, now listen to this promise. It says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given to you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. And I might stop right here. Young people, when we become children of God, this promise applies to us too. This promise applies to us too. God won't leave us. God won't forsake us. Just like he's promising Joshua here, he makes this promise to us. He won't leave us and he won't forsake us. But verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage. As Christian walk, young people, it takes courage. Right? It takes courage. When we go into school, it takes courage to be different, right?
Yes.
When we go to work and we are different from those around us, it takes courage. And so God's telling Joshua, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Why is he telling Joshua this again? Evidently, he knows that it's going to take courage. Right? He's going to need to be strong in the Lord, that thou mayest observe. I'm going to come back to that word in a minute. Observe, to do all, or do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now I want you to think about this for a second. He told him not to turn from the right or to the left, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest. In verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, thou shalt have good success. I want to go back to that word observe. Does anybody know what that word means in this context? It says that thou mayest observe. He said that twice, once in verse 7 and once in verse 8. Anybody? That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Also in verse 8 it says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. What's God trying to tell Joshua? Okay, so Brother Alex said obey. Observe, in this context here, says to take notice. So God's telling Joshua, take notice. Take notice and comply with. All right? To take notice and comply with. What a promise God gave unto Joshua. All right? God says you'll have good success as long as you do what is written therein. Do what I command you. You will have good success. Young people, tonight, you know, sometimes, you know, especially those of you that have changed kingdoms, so to speak, those of you that you've recently gotten saved during the June camp meeting, you changed kingdoms. You changed armies, you might say. Sometimes we forget we forget that, you know, we're in the Lord's army now. And we need to do, if we're going to have good success in the things of God, we need to do what the Lord asks us to do. Does that make sense? All right.
Right.
So, I typed in, what is the importance of following directions in the military? I just typed that into my search. And here's some answers that I came up with. It says, generally speaking, only troops who follow orders immediately and resolutely are capable of large-scale maneuvers needed for winning battles consistently.
Right.
What does that mean? It says, only troops who follow orders immediately. I know when the children were growing up, and we said, okay, whoever child it was, you need to take out the trash. Sometimes I would get, okay, after I do this. Well, guess what happened? It never got done. So the expectation was that when we asked the children to do something, it got done immediately. Now, what if you told your commanding officer, let's just say, for instance, that you were in the Army, and you told your commanding officer, after he gave you a specific order, says, okay, hang on for a minute, I'll do it after I do this. What do you think your commanding officer is going to do? That could be. There would be probably some sort of consequence. All right? There would be some sort of consequence. Let's just say that you were in war and the commanding officer told you to do something and he knew that it was going to save your life and the life of those that you are in battle with. But you say, wait a minute. I've got to go do this first. I got to finish digging my foxhole, or I got to finish doing this. That could mean that you're putting you and the rest of the people that you are fighting with in harm's way. Mm-hmm. And so it says here, generally speaking, only troops that follow orders immediately and they're resolved to do so are capable of winning battles consistently. How can we apply this to our Christian life, young people? When God impresses upon us to do something, maybe God shows us something in a message. I want you to think about this. If God shows us something in a message, now remember, God, you might say, is our commanding officer. He's the one in charge of everything. He's our commanding officer, and when God points something out in our lives through a message, does he expect us to put it off, or does he expect us to do that immediately? Uh-oh. Are we awake?
Immediately.
He wants us to do it immediately, because remember, it goes back to he told Joshua that you'll have good success if you do these things. And so what I'm trying to point out tonight, young people, is if we do what God tells us, so let's say he points something out in a message, and if we're quick to obey, that's one of those ways that we can be successful with God, that we can be successful in our Christian living. But many times, it's when we put things off, we get into trouble with God. Oh, well, I'll take care of this later. Many times it doesn't get taken care of.
Right.
It doesn't get taken care of. And then what happens is then when we fall or when we fail, then you think, where in the world did I go wrong? Well, go back to, did I do what God told me to do when he told me to do it? Young people, there's nothing wrong with if God shows us something in being quick to make that right, whatever it is. God's pointed something out in our lives. Let's be quick to obey. Let's be quick to take care of that thing. Why? Because it will help us be successful. God wants us to be successful. But many times it's us. We put things off. So I'll take care of it later. But it says here, just like in the Army, just like the U.S. Army, it's those who follow orders immediately and they're resolved to do so. They're the ones that are successful in winning battles. And so when you are in a battle, and God is saying, okay, this is what you need to do, how quick are you to obey Him? How quick are you to obey Him? Because lingering or not doing so may mean the difference between defeat and victory. Now, how many people like to be on the losing end of things? Does anybody like to be a loser? I don't. And you don't want the enemy going around. Okay? Be quick. Be quick to obey the Lord. Another thing that came up. Though sufficient material resources are crucial, no amount of resources can make up for the lack of battlefield discipline. Military discipline is widely recognized as the most important factor in determining military success. Legendary conquerors, such as the Romans, used discipline to overcome opponents with better weaponry and greater numbers. So what does it mean when we, you know, when they talk about battlefield discipline? Anybody have any ideas when we're talking about battlefield discipline? Is it a good thing to spaz out? just run? That's not a good thing to do. That's why you go through basic training, okay? So you're trained. You're trained to react, all right? You're trained to react, to function as a unit, to function as a team. And so when they talked about the Romans, if you looked into any history whatsoever, they were very disciplined in what they did, and they functioned together as a unit. They were like a well-oiled machine made up of men. And it was because of this battlefield discipline, they overcame greater numbers and greater, other foes that had greater hardware, greater, you know, weapons, and this, that, and the other, because of the discipline. And so what I'm trying to say is, young people, is we can over, you know, sometimes we feel like that we're outnumbered in our battles. The enemy overwhelms us many, many times. How many people have ever been in a battle with the enemy and you just felt like you've been totally overwhelmed? Well, says here that if we look to God, and you know what? The messages, the things that we learn in Sunday school, your daily devotions, you know, we keep talking about those things over and over and over again. We talk about the basics, but we have to practice those things. All right, the military, they practice over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's what basic training is all about. They practice these things over and over and over again. And so in our Christian walk with God, we have to practice these things over again. Why? Because it helps us with our battlefield discipline. And when we go into battle, when the enemy comes upon us, we can rely on that training. Our daily devotions, our prayer. Because where is our battles fought at, young people? It's in prayer. It's in prayer. It's, and then when we have battles in our mind, you know, we can bring up scriptures. We can bring up scriptures, say, because when Jesus was tempted, what do you throw back at the devil? Scriptures. And so if we are disciplined in our practice and we go, you know, and we do those things that we need to do on a daily basis, then when we go into battle, when we are tempted, when we have these battles, when the enemy comes in upon us like a flood, we can rely on those things that we have practiced over and over again to help us as we go through these situations. Another thing that came up, it says any plan is better than no plan.
Right.
Even if you don't like the orders. Now, there are some times, how many times have you had your parents ask you to do something and you really didn't like what they asked you to do?
Hands up.
All right, let's be honest. There were some things that my mother and my father asked me to do, and I really didn't want to do it. All right, especially cleaning up after the dog or whatever the case may be. All right, I really didn't like doing that. But it says here, even if you don't like the orders, these are the things that have been tried and proven to work. This is what separates winners from losers. Even the worst order, if followed to a T, has a better chance at success than a good order not carried out fully.
Right.
Now, so in other words, what we're saying is if we obey God and we carry that order out, we have a very, very great chance of being successful in that battle with the enemy. So what it all goes back to, young people, is we need to follow. Just like Joshua, God says, if you do these things, you will be successful. And the Lord's telling us tonight, young people, if you do these things that we have been taught, you are going to be successful. And if you do them immediately. Also, following orders instills discipline within the ranks. All right? When orders come along, the orders come along from the top down. I want you to think about that. The orders come from the top down. Following those orders ensures everyone is on the same page. And so, it's a common salvation. Would everybody agree? It's a common salvation. And you know, I was working with somebody at the altar not too long ago, and we were discussing the problem. And I mentioned something about so-and-so and so-and-so, and you know, not mentioning any names, but the person looks at me and says, I thought I was the only one that had this problem. No, you're not the only one that has this problem. It's a common salvation, young people. We go through, maybe our trials aren't exactly the same, but the principle behind it's the same. In other words, we all go through trials, we all go through situations in this life, but if we follow orders, it ensures that we are on the same page, and we can get help, and we can be successful. Let's go to Joshua chapter 6 real quick. And everybody's familiar with this account? Jericho. So Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. And now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given thine hand, or into thine hand, Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city. All ye men of war, go around the city once. Thus shalt do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear the ark before the seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And so God gave explicit directions. God gave explicit directions to the army of Israel, to Joshua. This is how you're going to conquer Jericho. Now, did they have to really lift a finger? Did they really have to lift a sword or a spear or a shield? Nope, God gave them the city. Why? Because they followed the Lord's command.
Right.
Because they followed the Lord's command, they did exactly what God commanded them. All right? Has God through the preaching, daily Bible reading, thoughts during young people's meeting, told you if you do what I have shown you, you will prosper and have good success? And that, has God ever talked to you like that before? I'm showing you something here in your life. Right? God's saying, I'm showing something here in your life. If you take and you correct this, or if you do this like I would like for you to do, you are going to have good success. Has God ever kind of told you that in a roundabout way? Maybe not in those exact words, but maybe the Holy Spirit has come to you and said, you know, if you would correct this in your life, you will be more successful. You won't trip and fall. You won't fall into those traps you've been falling into if you do this. You'll be successful if you would do this. So young people, that's what I'm trying to get at tonight is if we would do what the Lord commands us to do, we do it immediately, we're resolved to do it, we'll have good success. We'll have good success. Don't be like King Saul and only partially follow the directions that God gave him. In 1 Samuel 15:3, it says, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. Saul did not do as commanded. That's what God commanded him to do. But what did he do? He did what he thought was right. He did what he thought was right. And if you went down to verse 9, it says, but Saul and the people spared Agag. Now, I want you to think about this. Saul and the people. It was mentioned here, Saul and the people. But who was the leader? Hello, is everybody still awake out there? Who was the leader? Saul. Remember, all the command came from the top down. God gave it to Samuel. Samuel gave it to Saul. Saul gave the commands to the people, right? But somewhere there's a disconnect between that command between Samuel and Saul. Right, he did not follow what God commanded. But it says, Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. That's not what God commanded them to do. But everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed utterly. It repented, and it says, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king. Now this is God talking. For he turned his back from following me, and hath not performed my commands. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. So by Saul not following the commands of God, young people, it cost him the kingdom, and eventually, cost him his life.
Right.
What did you think about that? His decision by not following the commands of God, young people, it will cost you. It will cost you. It will be very costly. Oh, the importance, young people, of following God's commands. Also, by us not following the commands of the Lord, it can not only bring trouble to you, but it can bring trouble to others. You know, the nation of Israel suffered as a result of Saul's disobedience. They suffered. Joshua 6, verse 18. We're going to finish up with this verse. Joshua 6, verse 18. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. And ye take up of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. So in other words, what we're saying is, young people, if the decisions we make don't just affect you, they affect others. They affect others. But I believe everybody in this room tonight, you want to be successful, right?
Right.
But you want to be successful, not only in this life, but I know, I truly believe within your hearts that you want to be successful with God. Well, what must you do to be successful? Do everything that God demands you to do. Whether it's written in here, whether it comes across the pulpit, out there in the main service, maybe someone brings a message here, and God tells you, listen, just for instance, Jordan, if you do this, you'll be successful. Wouldn't you like to come by, somebody come up to you and say, okay, Alex, if you do this, you'll be successful. Wow, what a promise. What a promise.
Yeah.
And this is what God's telling you. And this is a guarantee. This is a promise. That if you do those commands that God has given you, you will be successful. He promised that to Joshua. He will promise that to you. That's a promise. And so if the Lord's pointing anything out in your life that you need to take care of, take care of it. Take care of it. Why? Because your success depends upon it. Your success depends upon it. Let us stand. Let's look at the Lord.